Welcome, everyone. My name is Eric Orman. I'm a program manager in the System Center Configuration Manager product group. And today, we're going to be talking about plan, deploy, and migrate from Configuration Manager 2007 to Config Manager 2012. I was the primary program manager for the migration feature set. So I've been living this for the last year plus, you know, quite a bit of time. So I'm really excited to be able to present kind of what my day job has been for quite a while. So without further ado, I'm going to move right in. The circle area is what I'm going to be primarily focusing on. So if you guys had gone to the instructor-led labs, or if you had gone to the self-paced labs, you got a general orientation of what migration is and going through object migration and stuff. But what's not covered in great detail is a lot of the lessons learned from our TAP customers, some of the other theory and some of the other kind of concepts that we have, and then also just migration distribution point upgrade and shared distribution points. So I really want to spend a lot of time on that because it's not covered in other sessions or any of the other instructor-led labs. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on. But I'm going to cover the other stuff that's not circled, but I'm just not going to go in great detail for those. So opportunities to ask me questions or to get more information on some of that other stuff is go to the instructor-led labs, do the self-paced labs, or I'm working the booth today, the Config Manager booth, from noon to 3. I'll probably be there afterwards. But those are great places. Or just after the session up here, I can answer your questions and stuff. So again, focusing on these kind of areas. So if I'm going pretty fast at the beginning, you'll have a kind of understand reason why. Going back one slide. So if you download the slide deck, you'll notice that there's quite a few hidden slides if you go out to the MMS page. And I put them in there. I felt that it was important. I didn't cover it in this session because I got a lot of material, but I wanted you guys to have quite a bit of kind of the other stuff. So I left it in there. So the slides that you download, there's some hidden slides in there, some good information. So let's just get some terminology out of the way. So when we talk about, I'll be talking about content and objects primarily. So when I talk about content, that's primarily the packages, the binaries, the files, that's the EXEs and those other things. When I talk about objects, those are like config items and software update deployments and OS images, a lot in terms of the metadata items on that. And then server settings, that's pretty simple, site server roles and site properties. Client information, it's the GUID. So majority of the things I'll be talking about, I'll be saying content and objects a lot. So just kind of understanding what those general terminology is. So looking back at, you know, a couple years ago we did, when we started doing Config Manager 2012 and thinking about it, we did a lot of customer-focused design visits and trying to understand how customers migrated from SMS 2003 to 2007. And what we found is majority of customers did side-by-side migrations. And they used that as an opportunity to do an OS or hardware refresh. And so they did a side-by-side. And with that comes some challenges. And those particular challenges is they probably didn't have all the expertise in order to do it. All that they knew that they wanted to do an OS refresh or maybe a hardware refresh or just take it as an opportunity to start over. And so they had to go out and get some resources or create a lot of custom solutions and different things. Scripts or MCS tools are pretty prevalent in order to move stuff between 2003 and 2007 or between 2007 and 2007. But largely, they had to get custom homegrown solutions in order to do that. In addition of some of the challenges of going side by side is clients' upgrades and reassignments, so managing that and kind of then ultimately a lot of that data that had been collected through your CMDB for other people leveraging the database had to be regenerated and preserved. And so it was that transitional period of time. So we started, you know, those were some of the themes. And what we did was we turned a lot of those into what our goals were. But first, I wanted to kind of look at what you heard Brad's keynote. You've been going to the other Config Manager sessions and stuff, and you're getting really excited about 2012. And there's a lot of excitement around that. And so we're constantly talking about the different pillars, and there's this promise of what we're going to provide and what we've delivered. And so you probably have some operational fears and questions in terms of how much is this going to cost? How am I going to implement this in my environment in terms of people, process, product? And at the end of the day, what you're really wanting to know is how painful is this going to be to migrate? Either you're coming to that realization right now, or you're coming to that realization, you know, previously. But that's kind of the general point. And so what we wanted to do is take a lot of those, what we had saw customers do and how they migrated 2007, and then also what some of the other concerns that you had, and make those our goals for migration. Migration's very broad. And so the goals that we had assisted the migration of objects and clients, minimize that WAN impact while we're doing stuff, content's already down there. Why do we need to repush it down there? It's just pretty much the same. Assist with flattening your hierarchy simplification, and then reusing the 64-bit hardware that's down there and leveraging that. So these are our goals. And these goals ended up being front and center in terms of we implemented within the product a migration feature set. And so within that, there's quite a different things that we provide in terms of migration. So with that, there's object migration, so the ability to migrate collections, software distribution. So after you connect up the two sites, your 2012 to your 2007, you can migrate, you create a wizard, create a migration job, and then through a wizard, migrate the stuff over. So everything from boundaries and metering rules. Then we have distribution point sharing. So after you've migrated that stuff over, you can deploy it to your 2012 clients. And when they go to get the content, if you have DP sharing enabled, they can actually get the content from their 2007 distribution points, which is pretty exciting. And then content pre-staging. So DC yesterday at the same time covered a little bit about content pre-staging on that, so I won't go into too much detail. Distribution point upgrade. So the ability to do an in-place upgrade of a 2007 distribution point to a 2012 distribution point while preserving the migrated content on there. So that's what I'm going to be hitting on quite a bit. Import of 2007 inventory MOF file. So DC covered that and showed a little demo of it. And then also, when you migrate stuff over, you don't want clients to be rerunning those advertisements, you know. So retaining that execution history is pretty important for that. So we preserve that as a client gets upgraded from 2007 to 2012. So these are some of the general functionality with everything in mind in the bottom right-hand corner of kind of our goals and objectives. So how does this all work? So DC yesterday covered plan, deploy, and today I'm going to be focusing on primarily migrate. So I know the title is plan, deploy. DC covered that yesterday, so you should have a good understanding of general concepts of how to plan, what you need to deploy, and I'm going to be focusing on after you've done that, how do you migrate this stuff over? So when I think of migration, I think of kind of sequentially, and some of those items is you need to enable migration, you need to configure it. So you need to configure migration and enable distribution point sharing. Those two kind of culminates with you've configured migration. And then migrate. At that point in time, you can create migration jobs to migrate your stuff over. Then you're going to be migrating clients and upgrading distribution points. And by that time, you're pretty much done when you don't need 2007 anymore, and you can decommission that stuff. And then you rinse and repeat based upon your sites that you have. So those are kind of how I think about migration as you go along. You need to enable it. You do jobs, upgrade clients, and upgrade distribution points. So what are the migration jobs? There's three different types of migration jobs. There's object migration job, collection, and objects modified after migration. So object migration is you could cherry pick. I want this metering rule. I want this software update package. I want this. I want that. And I just want to migrate those across. Collection migration, there's kind of two flavors of that one, where you could just migrate a collection. Or you can migrate the collection on all the objects associated with it. So if you have a general scenario is your production collection, and that's what you target everything to, you don't have to go back and think about everything that's targeted towards that. We know about those associations, and we'll actually show them in the migration shop. So all you got to do is select that particular collection, and we'll show you all the objects. And I'll demo that for you guys. And then objects modified after migration. So you'd already migrated something over. Now you make a change in 2007, you want to remigrate it back over. So those are the three types of migration jobs. So what are the objects supported? Everything from collections to software distribution, app V, boundaries, advertisements, settings management, asset intelligence. Basically everything that you had for the most part in 2007, you can migrate that stuff over to 2012. So let me show how this works. So in here, I have deployed a Config Manager 2012 site. It's a standalone primary site. It's not in a CAS, but in that sense. So I've deployed it, and I navigate to the administration node, and down here is the migration node. So I expand that down, and there's three different subnodes. There's source hierarchy, migration jobs, and distribution point upgrades. So on the source hierarchy, there's nothing listed here. So the first thing that we need to do is connect our 2012 site to our 2007 site. And the process by which we do that is called specifying source site. And we launch a wizard. And within that, we need to specify what that 2007 site is. So it's rather simple. You just come up, SMS server. Then we need to provide the credentials that we want to use to connect over that. And we need to provide two sets of credentials, or basically, we connect up via the SMS provider and then also to SQL. And What we're going to do is provide clear credentials in order to gather data, back that, and bring it into 2012 so that we can create migration jobs. So in terms of user accounts, you need to specify this. So we'll just create a new one. Actually, you know what? I already did this before. So I created one already before for the sake of time. And then down here, you can use the same one, or you could use a different user account or a machine account. So yes, this works in a cross-forest, untrusted scenario. And that's exactly what I'm demoing today. I've got 2012, which is in a separate forest, and I've got 2007 in a separate forest. So it works just fine for that. And then after I've done that, I'm going to hit OK. And the next process that's going to happen is the data gathering process. Now, this is where Config Manager 2012 is going out to 2007, and it's gathering a whole bunch of information, and it's bringing it into 2012. And from that, it's going to be, that's where we can create our migration jobs and everything. Now, this process particularly takes probably anywhere 20 to 30 seconds. What we saw within our TAP customers, so like a good example is MSIT. They have about 300,000 systems, and when they did this data gathering job, it took anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes on the first time. So as you guys go out there and do this on your sites, don't get over-alarmed, depending upon how big your sites are, that this is, well, you demoed it, and it was only 30 seconds, and it's taken us a couple of minutes. It should take less than about 5 to 7 minutes. After we do this initial, each subsequent data gathering is a delta, so it should go a lot faster on that sense. So I'm done. So I've completed this, and I hit close. And so there, I don't have a real fancy 2007 site. It's a single primary site out there. But if I did have a pretty deep hierarchy, up here would be listed all the different primary sites. So I've got one that's listed up here. Now I can right-click on this, and I can go down to properties. And that data gathering job, by default, happens every 4 hours. And you can configure that if you want to. But that's just kind of the default setting. So you can go up anywhere from an hour to 24 hours. Or you can manually initiate it right there. So we'll just leave it on the default. The next thing that we want to do is enable shared distribution points. So you could right-click on here and do shared distribution points, or you could go up to the ribbon and do it. So I'm going to right-click here. And what shared distribution points is, we've gathered information about all the objects, but now we're going to gather information about the 2007 distribution points and bring those over. And I'm going to explain more about this, but in terms of how do you enable a migration, this is the process that we have. So click Enable. Hit OK, and now we're going to initiate another data gathering process, because we're going to go out and collect all that information about those distribution points. And again, the next data gathering cycle, these will happen at the same time, and it'll just be delta sync, so they happen pretty quick in that. So there I go. I'm all done with this shared distribution points. And so what that is doing is bringing all that, those 2007 distribution points, and they're becoming known by Config Manager 2012. And if you want to see what more information about those, you could go down here to the bottom and under shared distribution points. Let's see. It takes a second to bring them over. There they go. So I only have two down here, and I'll be talking more about this. So I've got one distribution point here. It's a standard DP, but if it was a server shared DP or a branch DP, it would say that. Eligible for upgrade, I'll be talking about that a little bit later, and then hosted packages a little bit, and then we say the available disk space. So at this point in time, you've configured migration. So the next thing we could do is actually do object migration. So let's migrate some objects. So I come up over to here, and let's do create migration job. So up here at the top, at the ribbon, and in here, there's let's give our thing a name, MMS1. In the description, and down here is a drop-down list of where we can actually specify the different jobs that I talked about earlier, collection, objects, or objects modified after migration. So I'm going to pick objects. Let's just do, now this is the cherry pick one. And so what you're going to see now is a list of all these different objects up here that are available to migrate. I covered this before in terms of, this is cherry pick. I can pick and selectively choose which ones. So what that looks like, boundaries, there's one boundary. Software distribution packages, you know, I could selectively choose which ones I want to do. So let's go ahead and click quite a few of these. Office 2010, let's do Bugger, it's another one in here. So these are good ones. AppV packages that are listed in here. And you go down and select quite a few other ones. One of the other ones that I really like is task sequences. So if you select this, because task sequences in nature are pretty complex, and they've got a lot of things associated with it. So if I click on that, We know about all the dependencies, and we'll automatically select those if you select the task sequence. So you don't need to figure out what boot image or OS image or what other hard-coded steps that you have in the task sequence. We know about all that. So just select the task sequence, and we'll check everything else for you. It's pretty cool. That's like one of my favorite ones. So these packages, I've already selected them. I'm going to hit Next. Here is where you can do content ownership. I only got a standalone Config Manager 2012 site, so that's the only one available on this particular one. Security scope, you could set the default. And there's some review information. You could save this out to a file. So these are kind of caveats. And I'm going kind of quick on this. I cover a lot of this in more great detail in the self-paced labs and then also in the instructor lab labs. So, and then lastly, you can run the migration job now. So I'm going to go ahead and migrate it. And the job is complete at this period of time. So if you want to know about the job and look at it in more detail, you have to go to a log file. No, actually, we've built a really nice, robust in-console experience. But if you want to go to the log file, go to the CAS log file or the log file at the top at your primary site. If you try to go to if you're in a hierarchy and you go to the primary site's migration log file, it's going to tell you, go to the CAS log file. So all migrations happen at the CAS. And also, you have to be a full administrator, so you can't have any other role-based access roles. You have to be a full administrator for that. So to look at this job, so I selected up here, there's one, and down here in the objects and jobs, we show you a greater detail of the status of all those, and they're already done. It's already been migrated across, and we tell you what particular job, and if one had failed for some reason, we'll actually show you right in here exactly the reason why it failed, so we don't make you go out to the log file. So again, providing a real good, rich in-console experience for you as you do these migration jobs. Now to look at these particular objects, so there's Office 2010 SP1. So if I go down to Software Library, one of the things, Application Manager, Packages. So in here you'll see that the stuff had migrated over. One of the things that we do is preserve the package ID. And the reason why we preserve that is to enable that capability that we talked about earlier of shared distribution points. So that's important because 2012, now if I were to take this Office 2010 and deploy it out to a 2012 client, and he's within the boundaries and shared distribution points is enabled, he'll get his content from that 2007 distribution point. So it's important that we preserve that package ID. Everything else is pretty much created brand new. So like collections, we'll get new collection IDs in that sense. So that's particular migration in the sense of that. So I'm going to hop back over to my PowerPoint. That was enabling migration. I showed you kind of how to migrate stuff. Again, the labs or instructor-led labs are a great place to learn more, and I talk in more kind of detail about those different things. And so just some of the key nuances and kind of good to knows for each of these. So for software updates, make sure you've configured. You won't be able to do any software update migrations unless you have configured a software update point in 2012. So in order to migrate that data over, it's going to be grayed out in the migration job. So if you're wondering, well, why can I not migrate software update stuff? It's grayed out. Well, you need to deploy a 2012 software update point, then you'll migrate that stuff over. Custom updates are not supported for migration, so you got to republish those. Don't try to use WSUS util with custom updates because that's going to really mess up your database. We actually say that in the docs. So make sure you go out and you just republish that information back out there. OS, big thing within this one is third-party task sequence integration. Those aren't going to carry over for like MDT and different stuff like that. And then kind of one of the other key takeaways is you probably have referenced a Config Manager client installation package. Well, we create a client installation package by default in 2012 when you deploy a site. And what we do is when that task sequence gets migrated across, we actually swap those packages so you don't have to go back and fix them up. So for the most part, your task sequence after you migrate it is ready to deploy. You may have to distribute that OS image or different thing, or boot image. But for the most part, you don't have to go back and fix anything up. Settings management, uninterpreted CIs are not supported. We cover that in the lab. And then also, as soon as you migrate, we update the schema of those CIs and baselines, and they're immediately ready to be able to deploy it out. So pretty quick on that. Content migration. One of the key things that we recommend as a best practice, and I'll cover this at the end, is always use UNC paths for package source. Otherwise, if you're using local paths, you're going to have to go back and fix those up at a later time. So it's always a good practice now, if you're not in the habit or you're kind of do it every once in a while in 2007, so make sure you're using UNC paths. And then in a cross-forest scenario, for OS and for boot images, I said that it works. the 2012 provider will need to have read access to that 2007 site. So if you try to migrate a task sequence, it'll come over, it'll fail, and the reason why is it can't get to the OS and boot image. That's the reason why. It at least has to be able to get to those files in order to get them. Software distribution. So yes, we have this great new app model and everything, but we want to preserve your investments that you made via classic software distribution. So being able to migrate that stuff over, in the sense of doing package or advertisements and different stuff, fully support that. Then you can use other tools like Package Conversion Manager in order to convert those into the new app model. Chris Adams demoed that in yesterday's keynote. More on Package Conversion Manager in the sense of what it does is it interrogates the collections and interrogates the MSIs and actually convert that into a new app model. And if you want to learn more about that particular Package Conversion Manager, right after this one at 11:45, Chris and Christina are going to be talking a lot more on Package Conversion Manager. Some of the other objects that are supported for migration, AI, metering rules, we showed that, AppV. So AppV is actually converted into an application, so it'll get a new deployment type with an AppV. AppV does not work for shared distribution points in that sense because it's converted into an app, and so the content's different. And the reports are not migrated. So then we move on to collections. So DC talked quite a bit about collections, but I want to give a recap in terms of collections. So here's collections 101. Collections are evaluated at each primary site. I think people pretty much get that. So if you create a collection at the CAS, it goes out to each primary site, it gets evaluated, goes back up, and you get a little global view of that. So collections are global. They're not specific to any primary site. And that's going to make a lot of sense here come shortly when I talk about collection migration. No mixed collections. So we ship with two root collections. So you can't have a collection in 2012 that has users and devices. You either have user collections or you have devices collections. So trying to migrate a collection that has mixed user and devices or a mixed user and device collection hierarchy, we block that. We just don't allow it. Then there's no more sub-collections. So there were two reasons when we went out and we were talking with customers, the reasons why you sub-collections. The first one was is pretty much they used it as a way of organizing their collections. And they just would create an empty collection, and it would then after that they would put the actual collections underneath it that they were using. That was one reason. The other one was to phase out a rollout. So they would target a deployment to that top-tier collection, and then they would add sub-collections underneath it, and they would automatically get it. And our answer for that is organizational folders and composable collections, and I'll be demoing that here next. And then link collections. We actually have two new, so you're aware of direct rules and query rules, but we also added include and exclude. So basically, if you create a collection hierarchy, you don't have to write these complex queries anymore. You can actually just click include, open up the collection dialog, select the collections to add and exclude. So it's a really great feature in terms of that. So for the most part, thinking collections, they're evaluated at each primary site, and they're flat. That's kind of the two ways that I always kind of think about them for the most part. And so when you try to, we have this new collections in 2012, and then the way that you were doing collections in 2007, how do they map, you know, and while preserving the administrator intent for that? So we spent a lot of time with this with customers and through our TAP customers. So thank you, TAP customers, for all the feedback you guys gave. But the real goal that we have is we want to try to preserve your intent in the investments that you made in those advertisements as you move over and not have to make you recreate all that stuff. And assist with the objects targeted to the collection. So I demoed that in pretty much how you select a collection. And then prevent unintentional increase in scope. I'll be talking more about that one. And whereby you don't want collections, like I said, they had to be scoped down, where if you had migrated a collection from a primary site to a Config Manager 2012, it's going to greatly increase in scope. And I'll talk about that here in a second. So looking back at those kind of two things, where you had an empty collection, it was just used for organization. So in this example here, the yellow, those are empty collections. So I've got three empty collections, desktop, sites, and Redmond. And underneath those, I've got actual collections that I'm using that have membership rules and different things to them. And so when I migrate those over, what it's going to look like after it gets done migrating is we're going to create three organizational folders. Organizational folder called desktops, sites, Redmond. And then we're going to create three collections. So moving those collections over. So desktop, North America, Building 41, and Building 44. So empty collections, if they don't have deployments or advertisements targeted to it, will become organizational folders. But But what happens if it does, that empty collection does have a deployment? So in that staggered rollout, what does that look like? So on the left-hand side, I've got Config Manager 2007. I have a Redmond collection. I have a deployment targeted towards it, and it includes Building 41 and Building 44. When I migrate that over, we'll create three collections. We're going to create, of course, Building 41 and Building 44. We're going to create an organizational folder because that's how you kind of logically group this, and those collections are going to be in it. But we're also going to create a composable collection that has include rules for Building 41 and Building 44. So preserving your intent of what you had for that. So what does that look like? Let's hop over this demo. So I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to create a migration job. And let's just call it collection. So I'm going to click collection migration down here. And up here is a list of all my collections. No, I didn't demo this before. I did object migration, so I got kind of confused. But anyway, here's what all the collections that you have. So let me give you just a quick overview on this. So up here you could search. If you have hundreds or thousands of collections, you could pop up this search here, and you could pick, do some queries to figure out exactly, find a particular collection. And then also, if you had any collections that could not be migrated, like I spoke about that before, like mixed collection hierarchies, you could click on this, view collections that cannot be migrated. So the ones that can be migrated are going to be listed here. So this tree view looks pretty much exactly like your tree view does in 2007. So down here I've got two collections. I've got main building and USA. So I'm going to choose USA. And down here, and it's got two collections down here. So in this example, I've got a deployment or advertisement targeted at USA. And so I've got this other one down here, Arizona and Washington, these other collections. And so here's Migrate Objects Associated. So I'm going to click Next, and look at that. It knows about that deployment of Office 2010. And so it's selected that one automatically. And then the software distribution package, Office 2010 SP1. And look at that. I migrated that earlier in my demo. And it's telling me right here that you'd already migrated it. So I don't, that particular item won't have to be migrated again. And again, content ownership, this particular site, there's nothing in general for this. Security scope. Could specify the default security scope down here. Collection limiting, I'll talk about that here shortly next. Site code replacement, if your collection query had a particular site code in there in the query, you could actually do a find and replace on that, and we provide that. And here is kind of a review, so there's some things, some nuances and caveats. So if you want to know about those more, you can click save to file. Settings. In here, I'm going to transfer the organizational folder. So this checkbox down here is pretty important down at the bottom. So transfer the organizational folder and structure down there. And so like we talked before, you create some folders. We want to preserve those. We just don't want to move everything into a flat list. And then the other checkbox down here at the bottom is enable the program. So actually, it's disabled by default. But if I were to check that, as soon as it migrated over, that Office 2010 deployment would be live. So by default, we have it not. But if you want to make it, you can. Those are the kind of key takeaways from this one. Summary, next, close, and the migration job is up here. There's the one called collections. So I didn't zoom in on what this one looked like. So there's two migration jobs, and we list them in here so everyone can see them. There's objects and job down here at the bottom. And look at that. We've got some, look at that, Office 2010 was skipped. Why was it skipped? Because I migrated it already before. And we provide a little thing in here. And then USA, why was that one skipped? Well, that one was skipped because we had it's a folder. So we actually created the folder. So what does that look like? Because I talked about that. So if we go up here to assets and compliance, let me hit the refresh button. So in here, so we created a composable collection. So we had that collection called USA, and now it's called Migrated Collection USAA, USA, and sub-collection. So if I were to look at the particular properties of this, and you look at the membership rules, it's got include for collection, those other two collections. So in my example that I used up on the board was Building 41 and Building 44. In this example, it was those other particular collections of Washington and Arizona. So they got the include rules on that. So we created that under the devices. And the other collections, refresh, pop down. Look at that. We created an organizational folder because you had it in a folder before, and there's Arizona and Washington. Now in Arizona and Washington, Those are the particular collections that are in there. Membership rules, you look at that. XP client. I don't have any clients right now, but this client is still in a 2007. So remember I talked about earlier, we preserve the advertisement run history so that way clients don't rerun it. Well, we carry over the XP client, so when it gets upgraded to 2012, it'll automatically fall into that collection. We pair up those goods, and it won't rerun its particular deployment after it comes across. So don't get kind of thrown off. If you're looking at membership rules and you're wondering, why are 2007 clients showing up in my 2012 collection rules? It's for later on at migration that we can do that. So that's pretty much collections. Kind of make sense of kind of how we're creating composable collections and the include and exclude rules and how things come across? I see quite a few nods out there. So you have very complex queries and you have complex things out there. We're going to try to look at those also. And so one of the other things I talked about is increasing in scope. So when you do a migration, so let's say you configure migration for all your primary sites. So you've got, in 2007, you have a central site, and you have a primary site in North America, and you got another one in Shanghai. And let's say North America, you have decentralized operations. And so you got a set of admins there in North America, and you got a set of admins over here in Shanghai, and they're all doing their own thing. And so the admins in North America, they were doing their Windows 7 deployment, and they created a collection called All Windows 7 Systems. Now, if I were to take that collection, see, in 2007, that collection only applies to that North America site. It doesn't apply to that Shanghai site, and it doesn't apply to the central site. But remember, in 2012, if I were to migrate that collection over, all Windows 7 systems to 2012, it's flat. It's going to be evaluated by all sites. So it's going to greatly increase in scope. So you need to limit that particular. So within our console, we have that collection limiting page where you could specify a collection to limit it to. So the reason for that is you don't want to have an increase in scope. All collections in 2012 have to be limited, unlike 2007, where collections just could be created. They didn't have to be limited. So by default, collections have to be limited in 2012 to either one of the root collections, or if you created another collection hierarchy on that. So that's increase in scope. Mixed collections, I kind of talked about that. And here's an example of that page. I couldn't show it to you in my demo. But if I were and I had collections that couldn't be migrated, here's what they are. In terms of they had a mixed query collection, well, if it, you know, the query said all users and devices that have X can't migrate those. Multiple collection limiting, mixed collections, so we show you all those particular items up on that one. Other collections, so I said we actually interrogate that collection query and we look at it, and if we happen to find a site code, so in the bottom, here's a little screenshot, it looked like the customer had specified site PUG as a site code, will actually provide an ability to do a site code replacement so it comes across. The same goes for advertisements. So if you have a query and it has an advertisement and you select it, we'll actually select those other collections and those other advertisements and we'll do a replacement. So it takes out a lot of the thinking through that for you guys on having to figure that out. So you're probably wondering, wow, this is kind of cool. So should I just migrate all my collections? This is a common question that I'll get. It's probably the number one question after this session or later on that you're going to come up and ask me. So let's just get it out of the way. And pretty much collections. So you're probably hearing role-based access control and all these other things. And so, you know, based upon the feedback that we got from our TAP customers and just talking with other customers, they would always kind of think about this. Should I just migrate all my collections? Well, in 2007, collections were primarily used for deploying software updates, deploying software, targeting different things. But collections have greatly increased in scope in 2012. So collections. So primary sites in 2007 were used for segmentation. In 2012, they're used for scale out. So the scope of things. Client settings were specific to primary sites. So you had to build a separate primary site to have like remote control client settings or other specific things. But now you've got granular client settings where you could target to them to collections. So when you think about collections, you start with segmentation. So you collapse all your stuff down. Now that, going back to that, I have a North America site and I've got a Shanghai site. So you create collections for those particular sites. So when you think about 2012, think about segmentation first and building a collection structure based upon segmentation. Then on top of that, you have client settings. So you overlay client settings on top of that. So thinking about, okay, I've got these different collections, I've got executives, I've got these other kiosk machines, and I want to apply client settings to those. So you create collections, you have client settings, and you target to that. So they're building on each other. The next item is role-based administration. So that North America site admin, you don't want to give him permissions to do actions and different stuff on that Shanghai site. So you need to segment via collections their ability, scoping him down so that he can only has the ability to see and to act upon clients within his North America site. So you had segmented collections, then you apply role-based administration on top of that. Kind of follow me along on that. And then lastly, you have your targeting. So those particular admins that have the ability to do stuff on the collections that he's allowed to do can then now do targeting of different stuff for software distribution, software updates, and those different things. So when you think about collections in 2007, it's just about preserving what you did as you migrate across. So you, in your investment. So 2012, you stand it up. You don't need to recreate all this different stuff when you migrate stuff over. You could still continue to leverage what you did in 2007. But what I'm saying is don't try to fit the circle in the square hole when you're migrating your collections across and still try to think that you can use them in the same way. So we have those new include and exclude rules. Collections are flat. They're evaluated at every primary site. Organizational folders, they don't mean anything. They're just a logical way of grouping. They don't have any significance on a hierarchy or anything like that. So when you think about migrating your collections, it's just to preserve your investments of what you did in 2007. And what we found is customers were starting fresh. So the guidelines that I'm basically telling you is, in 2012, think about how you're going to segment via collections. Then think about role-based administration, and then lastly, targeting. Don't think about targeting first and then backwards. Just think about segmentation on that. Kind of make sense? I see some head nods out there. People are getting it. They're like, I got it. I didn't really put that together. So, okay, that's kind of collections, and that's object migration. So I've got 37, 8 minutes, something like that left. And so now I'm going to be focusing on shared distribution points, migration distribution point upgrade, and then we'll wrap up at the end with a good set of best practices and other things. So what are shared distribution points? I kind of talked about that earlier. So it's where 2012 clients can retrieve content from migrated packages from a 2007 distribution point. It's pretty cool. So what's the primary scenario for this? You migrate, I use the example Office 2010 over, client gets deployed to a 2012 client, he can get that content from 2007. And this supports all different types of branch distribution points, server share, all of them. So basically when you enable shared distribution points for a primary site, it's enabled for that whole site. You need to configure. So going back, I forgot to mention this. When you configure migration in the beginning, we just did it to the topmost site. But if there was other primary sites listed, you need to configure migration. So specifying a source site, specifying your credentials, and enable a distribution point sharing. So if you have lots of primary sites and you want to enable distribution point sharing, it's going to be a repetitive task. I'm sorry. So you'll have to do that. So quite a few different clicks. I think it's about 8 clicks for each time you want to enable it. So 8 times, if you have 20 primary sites, 160 times, 160 clicks. So it could be kind of repetitive in that nature. But when you enable distribution point sharing, the key takeaway, it's enabled for that entire site. So what the general scenario? So this is kind of a graph, not graph, but an example. On the left, I got 2007. On the right-hand side, I got 2012. I used that example of migrating Office 2010 over. Then I deployed that out to my 2012 clients. My 2012 clients are in the boundaries of that 2007 distribution point. They're going to do a location services request to the 2012 site, and it's going to return that particular 2007 distribution point, and the client's going to be able to get the content from that and download it. And all you had to do was just migrate and deploy your 2012 clients. You have to distribute any content within 2012. So some considerations for shared distribution points. This is not a permanent link between your old environment and your new environment. It's just to fill the gap during the time of migration, because you'll want to eventually upgrade those 2007 distribution points to a 2012 distribution point for all the great reasons that we have in 2012 for scheduling and throttling and Pixie and for those other reasons. Shared distribution points could be fragile. What does that mean? Well, we rely on the same package. So if you had migrated Office 2010 over to 2012 and deployed it out, and you made a change on that package in 2007, they're going to be out of sync. So you're going to have to go back and remigrate that package back over. And so you can use that objects modified after migration. So that's the migration job that you would pick in order to keep those in sync. So in terms of that could be fragile. So if you guys have doing, if you have admins doing stuff in 2007, they could be out of sync when you expect the deployment to go well. Shared distribution points are read-only. So no, you cannot distribute 2012 content to a 2007 distribution point. It's read-only. It only cares about the migrated stuff. You can't change the boundaries of a of your 2007 distribution point. So basically, when you enable shared distribution points, we also bring over the boundaries and we create a boundary group for that distribution point. So all shared distribution points are treated as protected DPs. So there's no fallback for a shared DP. So even though it has fallback enabled and it's not a protected DP, in Config Manager 2012, we think of it as a protected DP on that, in that sense. And then I talked earlier, just recently, about configuring per primary site, 160 clicks if you got to them. So it's kind of a repetitive nature for shared distribution points. So to do a migration distribution point upgrade, you first have to enable shared distribution points. And then after that, what the great thing about migration distribution point upgrade is that we can convert that migrated content that's already down there, and you don't have to re-migrate it down there. So what we really wanted to provide was an in-place upgrade path. So you've heard all week that we have no in-place upgrade. That's only for site servers. But if you have a distribution point, you could do an in-place upgrade. And so what we wanted to be able to provide is we're going to get you from a 2007 distribution point. Doesn't matter if it's a server share DP, branch DP, it's a distribution point co-located on a secondary site. We'll get you to a 2012 distribution point. And so what we have built into the console is an orchestrated end-to-end action where all you have to do is create a migration distribution point upgrade job. So very similar to what I demonstrated before, if you create a migration job to migrate an object, we're just doing that for a distribution point at this period of time. So this supports branch, server share, standard DPs, the content that had been migrated, we actually convert it. It doesn't have to be redistributed. We convert it down there on the site. We put it into the new content library, single instance store. And this works for secondary sites and everything. So I'm going to be demoing this. Platforms that we support. So in particular, you know, if clients, it's Vista SP2 and a higher servers. So basically, whatever DPs that we support in Config Manager 2012, that's what we support for distribution point upgrade. In terms of readiness, within the console down at the bottom is a screenshot, and I showed you distribution points, and I said that eligible for upgrade. And so we provide you a visual, can this distribution point, does it meet the requirements in order to be upgraded? And so it's simple, yes or no. So in the example, the top one, it says no. Why is it, I wouldn't say no, it's because it has probably a primary site on it or maybe Pixie or state migration point. So in order to migrate a distribution point, you got to make sure that you remove the Pixie or state migration point. In terms of secondary sites, if it has a co-located distribution point, there is nothing that would block that one in particular. So we're upgrading the distribution point on that one. So let me show you how this works. So I'm back here at my Config Manager 2012 console. I'm going to go down to the administration node. Look at that, distribution point upgrades. That's where we show you a status of all the distribution point upgrade jobs that are out there. So how do you launch? Well, there's two different ways to launch it. You can either come up here to the upgrade distribution point. You can click on this and we launch the wizard. Or the other way to do it is you come over here to source hierarchy. And down here at the bottom, I show you that shared distribution point tab. I'm going to click on that. And here is a list of those distribution points that are shared that we have. I've got one Seattle DP. On there, and is eligible for upgrade. This bottom one is not. The reason why it's not is that's the actual the distribution point on my 2007 primary site. So on here, I could click on this guy, and up at the ribbon, there's an action, or I could just right-click and choose upgrade. But for this example, I'm going to come over here and show you upgrade distribution point. Now, if I were to launch it here and I click Browse, we're going to actually return you a list of the distribution points that are eligible already. So it's kind of two different ways of doing it. One, you could search, and the other way, you can, if you know your hierarchy and your thing, you can click on it. So there's only one that's available. So I'm going to click OK. And the next thing that we're going to do is we got to pick which 2012 site we want to attach it to. Now, we can either selectively choose a secondary site or a primary site. It doesn't matter. If I had quite a few secondary sites or primary sites in 2012, they would be all listed on this dropdown. But I have a very simple 2012 site over here. And the rest of this information looks very, very similar to what you would see with just a traditional distribution point deployment in 2012. And you'll see that throughout this wizard. The next page, very similar, almost identical. In fact, it is identical to what a standard distribution point. So make sure you click this box to install IIS. On the distribution point, you can configure HTTP, HTTPS, self-signed certs. All this stuff right here is exactly the same of what you would get with the standard distribution point wizard deployment. So basically what we did is we kind of merged those together. We needed to provide some information about migration, and we needed to provide the general things about deploying just a standard distribution point. Same here. So this one is where you could specify drive settings. So there are no server share distribution points in Config Manager 2012. Instead, in the wizard, you could selectively choose your content location. So by default, we pick automatic. So, but if you want to choose it, let's say you were using a server share DP and you wanted it to go to a different drive or something, then you would pull this pop down. You would select the drop down, and you could pick which drive that you wanted to go to. Same with package share and over here. Yes, no SMS drive, that still works. So if you want to leave it automatic and you had used that before, it can go there also. So no server share DPs, this is where you select that. Pixie, no change to this particular wizard page. You can enable Pixie if you want to. So yes, distribution points. If you hadn't heard already, DC covered this in his session yesterday. Distribution points have the Pixie capability and also scheduling and throttling. Content validation, no changes to this one. Boundary groups. So we had automatically added that boundary group that I had talked about in here for that particular, we had created when we enabled shared distribution points, a boundary group for the boundaries of that distribution point, and we automatically added it over. So you could add more if you wanted to. Oh, that's awesome. It didn't work. Well, anyway, I could fix that one. I could show you another slide. But in this particular slide, so I don't know what happened on that one. So that's why I keep a backup. So let's make this unhide this guy. So what you should have seen was this. Great and schnazzy. So at that particular page, we'll show you a list of all of your migrated packages that are at that distribution point, and we show you the size. So this is saying, hey, this is everything that's going to be converted. And at the end, we're going to show you an aggregate size down at the bottom down there. I don't know if the zoom it works on this one. Nope. It did in the other one. So down here at the bottom, kind of hard to see laser, but we show you an estimated size of what all that migrate content is. So down there, it looks like it's 11 gigs. And then what's the required disk space? Why do you need 2.1 times? Well, we don't delete the 2007 content. We actually do a copy and paste. So that 2007 content stays there after we do the content conversion. We don't want to do any data loss or make any suggestions and delete stuff. So you need to go back after you do a migration distribution point upgrade, and you can delete everything out of that SMS PKG, that old 2007 content that's there. We also leave it there for other reasons because people are using it. We heard back feedback on that. So out of this list, also, if you want to save over here on the right-hand side, there's a save to file. So we export all this so you get to see, you know, the name and package type and different stuff and export that out. So it's a way of kind of like, is that package really down on that distribution point? Well, it's a way to kind of do a checks and balances. So there's 2.1 times down here. Now, if you're using the same drive, yeah, you're going to need 2.1 times. But if you had selected a different drive, that doesn't really apply because you're copying stuff from, let's say, the T drive to the X drive. And so you really don't need 2.1 times drive space. You just need to ensure that you have that. So we take just thinking in terms of down here, 2.1 times if it's on the same drive. Kind of makes sense because we do a copy-paste. See some nods? Yep, kind of good. There's a head bobble. I don't know what that one is. But all right, let me flip back over to my demo. No, I don't. I'm going to teach it to who's boss later. So you click Next, and it's going to come up here and give you a summary. It's not liking me today. Broke it. It should come up and give you the beautiful summary that we have. There we go. I'll take a drink of water here. So one thing of note on this particular item that happens is the credentials that we use to go out to do a distribution point. So what we have to do is we've created a job. Now we need to, 2012 will go out and perform an uninstall of 2007. So it actually reaches out. So remember I kind of said migration is read-only? Well, when you create a migration distribution point upgrade, it needs to go out and tell Config Manager 2007, uninstall that distribution point. So at that period of time, it's not really read-only. The credentials that it's going to use to tell 2007 to do that uninstall that distribution point was the same credentials that were specified when you did the data gathering. So if that data gathering doesn't have the proper credentials to do the uninstall, this job is going to fail. So make sure that has the delete permissions out there. It's documented in greater depth on TechNet. But the credentials that it's using to do the uninstall, the key takeaway is the same credentials that you specified in the data gathering job. That's key. So in terms of progress, here, show you progress. It's progressing slowly. All right, there we go. So I created this job. I'm going to click close down here at the bottom. And look at that. So in the migration distribute point upgrade node down here at the bottom, so we have this particular node. You'll notice that up here, I'm just going to scan over, get you sick. There's the distribution point upgrade for that particular one, and it's not started yet on that one. So at this period of time, what's happening is Config Manager 2012 is going out and telling 2007, uninstall that distribution point. When that gets done, then 2012 is going to actually install the Config Manager 2012 distribution point. And the third thing is it's going to do a content conversion action. And so depending upon the size of your content, so I had like 11 gigs up there, because remember I said it's a copy-paste? So you're probably wondering, what's the performance, the scale, how fast is it going to be? It's a disk I/O thing. So however long it takes to do a copy-paste of a file on that particular disk is probably how long it's going to take. So 11 gigs will probably, you know, kind of an estimate of what we've seen is 1 gig for every 1 minute is kind of general if you have a good disk I/O out there. So probably take anywhere from about 15 minutes for this to go down. So that's a particular job. Now, let's say you do have a lot of content down there, and it is taking a long time because you have gigs and gigs of data down there. We have a restart capability, and that's really handy when, let's say, somebody rebooted the server or something happened down there. You can actually will be able to right-click on that particular job, and you could click start. The job hasn't started yet, but if it did, it would say restart this job. And so that's a way the content conversion action or the deployment somehow failed along the way, you could restart that particular job. Now, the particular logs that you want to look at for here is we give you some status up here in the console about overall, but that's not the great place to go and look for a deep dive. So you want to look at the migration log will detail the uninstall, but then you would need to look at the distribution manager log if you really wanted to get understanding of that Config Manager 2012 distribution point deployment. And then for the content conversion, you'll need to look at distribution manager log. That's the other one that will detail different things about that. So if you like looking at logs, that's a great place. But you shouldn't really have to go into the logs and look at that. So that's distribution point upgrade. So with a couple clicks, we've simply upgraded that distribution point, converted the content, and done that. So if you have quite a few different distribution points running through the wizard, orchestrated end-to-end action, it's an easy way to upgrade your sites. Now, you talked about secondary sites. Now, what does that look like? Well, there's one kind of caveat for that. So up there, we talked about looking at step three, and that's where we had specified a distribution point to upgrade. Step four is where we actually had run through the wizard, and the migration job runs. And so I said the first thing after you created a job is 2012 went out and did an uninstall. Well, if you have a distribution point that's co-located on that secondary site, we need to uninstall that secondary site. So 2012 will go out, tell 2007, uninstall that secondary site. Well, secondary site uninstalls could take a good amount of time. So what we actually do is pause that whole action, and we wait for the next data gathering job to happen. So by default, it's every 4 hours. Good. You're close. That's why I could hear it. Every 4 hours. So we're going to wait another 4 hours to see if that secondary site had completed the uninstall. And if it has, then we'll move right into deploying the 2012 distribution point. So when you're upgrading your secondary sites with co-located DPs, just take in mind that the process is going to halt and basically pause until the next data gathering job. So if you want to look at the status of that secondary site uninstall, you need to go to your Config Manager 2007 logs in order to look at that. But then after it recognizes it, that it has, that secondary site has been removed, then we'll move forward with that 2012 distribution point install, then the content conversion, and then the job is completed on that. So overall, that's kind of end-to-end of kind of how that process works. So in terms of what's converted and not, some considerations for that. So basically, the only thing not converted is the boot image. So it's highlighted in red up there. So that must be redistributed down there. So if it's an OS image, app V, software update, software distribution, all that stuff is converted. So I showed you on the slide. So that boot image is not. So one of the things you might want to do is, let's say you had a secondary site and Pixie was enabled on that particular. Well, and then you converted it up to a, you upgraded it to 2012. It's not going to have a boot image down there. So a good thing to leverage is the pre-stage capabilities. So maybe a couple week or 2 weeks beforehand, you had distributed via pre-stage that boot image down there. Then you can remote desktop down there and upload it and everything like that at a later point in time. So that DP could be immediately ready for Pixie thing. So leverage pre-stage in order to get that boot image down there. Or you could just let it come down over a period of time, kind of depending upon that. And then some of the content remains on the server after conversion. I said about that. Basically, you need to go back and clean it up at the end. So some other considerations. Branch DPs, we don't support 2012 sites that have Config Manager 2007 clients on it. So in this scenario, if you're going to upgrade a branch DP, you've got to remove the 2007 client before you do so. If you don't, the content conversion action, if Config Manager 2007 client's trying to modify that content, it's going to get messed up, and the content conversion action will fail. You can always restart it later after you uninstall the client. So that's why we got that cool restart capability within that. In terms of content, I talked about copying between drives, the restart functionality, I talked about that. In terms of monitoring, I talked about if you want to look at that, you could look at the distribution manager log for the details of the 2012 deployment, or look at the, and for the content conversion. We have no multi-select in there. So you, if you have 20,000 DPs, you got to create 20,000 migration jobs for each of those because they're unique in their nature. Or you can leverage the SDK when that comes out in order to automate that process a little bit more. In terms of best practices, and this is what we saw a lot of our TAP customers do. We had a number of TAP customers that just replaced all their secondary sites with distribution points. There's quite a few of them out there. So like one of them did, they had thousands of secondary sites and replaced them all with distribution points. And so what we saw is they would selectively choose remote sites to upgrade. So starting from the bottoms up. So you don't want to upgrade a secondary site that has a lot of remote DPs because all those are going to be orphaned. So you start from the bottoms up and you select remote sites, you upgrade their distribution points, you upgrade their clients, and so you kind of tip fast at by remote site. Another thing you might want to think about is removing unwanted data, so the pruning effect. So basically, if you're copying, because we do a copy-paste, in order to save some drive space, you might want to do some pruning of particular old content that you have on the distribution point before you do the upgrade later on. See a lot of people taking pictures of the slides, not me. That's cool. But you can get all these slides. You could download them off the MMS site. And again, there's a lot of hidden slides in there also on this. So all the same slides are up there. I didn't modify them. What you see up here can be downloaded. You could take that back home. Use them for your team's presentations and different stuff like that. Secondary sites. Well, I have a secondary site in 07. I want to get it to a secondary site in 2012. How is that? Is that possible? No, that's not possible. Some options for you to do that is use the PDB Migration Toolkit, or you could use pre-stage, or you could upgrade that secondary site to a DP and then attach it to a net new secondary site. So there's a couple options for that. But I would really challenge all of you guys to think about why you would even need a secondary site in 2012. Really, the only reasons is to control the upward flow of traffic. Outside of that, there's really no compelling reason for that. Because Pixie, scheduling and throttling, those are all attributes on a distribution point. So you really don't need, so I really challenge you guys to think about why you would need, if you had thousands of secondary sites, why you really need thousands of secondary sites for those particular things. Again, majority of our TAP customers, we did see them go to distribution points exclusively for particularly everything. So client upgrade and deployment. So roaming clients, I get kind of like, well, I'm in the state of interop. You know, how does 2007 clients, how do they work with 2012? And what does this kind of look like? You know, 2007 clients don't talk to 2012, but 2012 doesn't really talk to 2007. In terms of client upgrades, we retain the execution history on those upgrades. So that way you don't rerun advertisements and deployments. It would be really bad if they ran that Office 2010 deployment again. So we retain that one. The GUID is preserved. So I showed you kind of earlier around the XP client. It wasn't migrated yet, but it was showing in that collection so that after it gets migrated, or the client gets upgraded, it'll automatically fall into that collection. Machine variables, I get this question a lot for OSD stuff. So when you migrate a client, those machine variables do come over. So the client first must be upgraded and migrated, and then those machine variables are available for that. And of course, when a client gets upgraded from 2007 to 2012, it does a full inventory, full state, everything back up. 2012 thinks of it, for the most part, as a net new client. In terms of client deployment, some things have changed for the better and for the cool. Let me take a drink of water. So we create, by default, when you deploy a Config Manager 2012 site, we create a Config Manager client installation package. And that's what the little screenshot is up there. So in the packages, you'll notice that there's Config Manager client installation package. So that references the SMS client on the CAS or the top primary site. So that 155 megabytes and all those files, 158 files or something. I know it's 155 megabytes, but we create that. And now that package is, when you deploy a distribution point, that package is automatically distributed to those distribution points. That's the same package where I talked about earlier. When we do the, if you were to migrate a task sequence over, we swap that client installation package. Well, that's the package that we're swapping it with to save you some time. So it's kind of cool. Did we just create this client installation package just for OS deployment or to use for later on? No. We actually leverage it for client deployment. So getting rid of secondary sites, I had a great question from a guy yesterday. He asked me, well, what about client push from secondary sites? Because we're really concerned about the load of, you know, this 155 megabytes now having to come down from the primary site, from the MP. Ah, well, we changed. So this client installation package is on those DPs, and we change behavior within CCM setup. When CCM setup runs, it'll do a location services request to get back a list of the DPs where that client installation package is on. And if that DP is local or wherever it's at, it's actually going to get those client installation files, that 155 megabytes, from that DP. Now, if it doesn't, it's not available, it's going to fall back to the management point after 4 hours. So we're taking the load significantly off the management point, and we're putting it down on the distribution points where that should actually do the file hosting for the different things on that. So get a lot of kind of feedback from people or while reading the forums and different stuff like that is why is client deployment, we're not getting out there. So they have to be within the boundaries. So when you set up your boundaries, make sure you set up the boundaries properly out there so it can find the content. Now, if you want to specify a location for those, the slash source is the proper way to do that. If you use the slash MP or other things, it's still going to go to the distribution point and then after 4 hours fall back to that management point. So if you wanted to specify hard code, I don't want it to go to a distribution point, I want it to go to this file share, you use the slash source. Kind of some confusion out there. We updated the TechNet docs to be a little more explicit on that based upon some people's feedback. Now, also the SLP has been completely removed. That's just now a attribute of the management point. So what you would use before in specifying SMS SLP, you would just simply use SMS MP equals and specify that. So SLP, big key takeaway for this one is it's now part of the management point. So don't think of SMS SLP. So changing your command line to use SMS MP equals is the proper way of doing that. Again, the CCM setup stuff, you'll notice when you look at a CCM setup log, it'll detail in there. It kind of looks like the CAS log in terms of the and about where it gets its content. And you could figure out what distribution points and different stuff like that. Prerequisites, so we require on the client .NET 3.0 or higher. If it does not have that on there, so if anyone did the migration lab, It took a while for the client to install, and the reason is it didn't have .NET 3.0, and so .NET 4 had to install. It took too long, and so most of the people didn't complete their labs because .NET 4.0 was installing. So .NET 3.0 is the minimum. If not, .NET 4.0 will install. And the same for Silverlight. If you don't have Silverlight installed, client installation will install Silverlight. Our catalog, Software Center, they all run off Silverlight. So we need to have that in there. So we've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to talk a little bit more about what you could do to prep. So these are things that you could take home with you, and you can go back, and things that you can start implementing as operational procedures. And then also what guidance provide you guys as you start thinking about 2012 and migration stuff, or even kind of best practices. Because I've mentioned things along the way. Some of you might be taking diligent notes and different stuff, or not. But that's why I wrapped it up in kind of some final slides out here. So preparing for Config Manager 2012. DC had the slide up on his. But for the most part, the minimum client or minimum site version 2007 in order to configure migration has to be Config Manager 2007 Service Pack 2. So if you have SMS 2003, it's not going to work. If you have 2007 RTM, it's not going to work. It's not going to work with SP1. You got to have SP2. If you have R3, that works just fine on there. That's just a feature pack. So you got to have a minimum. So when you configure migration, it has to be a minimum of 2007 SP2. Collections. I talked a lot about collections. So thinking about how you do collections and different stuff, not saying that you need to change right now, but just be aware that how you might, you're building collections today will probably change. That's what I want to kind of put in your guys' minds, that collections are changing and how you're doing collections. And I talked a lot about that earlier. Package source, a good recommendation is to always use UNC PaaS. So that way you don't have to go back and fix it up. That could be kind of messy later on. So as a good operational procedure, be using UNC PaaS for your package source. So I talked about .NET 4.0. Migrate your current base XP-based branch distribution points to Windows 7. It's a good thing to do. So there's some capabilities already in 2007 that easily migrate that content and that distribution point from XP to Windows 7. So later on, because you need Vista SP2 and above in order to get to a migration distribution point upgrade for a branch DP. So things that you could start doing now, because we don't support the upgrade of an XP branch DP to 2012. So things that you could start doing now. Branch cache, you can enable that. So after you get those Windows 7 or Windows Server 2008 R2, you can get those clients over to be, you enable branch cache. And then consider virtualizing. So there's quite a few tools out there. P2V Migration Toolkit, I think there's a session on that one that you guys can go and learn more about that I'm not covering about that. And kind of a recap of best practices. So I talked about that bottoms up when migrating distribution points. It was really awesome to see. Our internal MSIT guys did pretty much, they're all completely on Config Manager 2012 RTM right now. And they used migration distribution point upgrade to migrate all their DPs. They had something like 200 some odd DPs. And so they did the migration distribution point upgrade to migrate and upgrade a lot of those DPs and stuff. So that was awesome. So a lot of good features on that. Then also some of our other TAP customers did it. So got a lot of great feedback on that. I talked about kind of choosing by remote site, kind of bullet number two, choose by remote site location to upgrade and kind of tipping fast. Site codes, those have to be unique. So the site codes that were used in 2007, in 2012, they have to be unique. So remember I talked about how packages preserve their package ID? Well, if the site codes were the same, you would get a lot of collisions, and that would be really bad. Distribution point sharing wouldn't work. So you actually cannot, we actually block you from doing configuring migration to a site that has a duplicate site code. We block that explicitly on that. So when you're thinking about 2012, you got to think about all due site codes on those particular things. Leverage pre-stage in order to augment the shared distribution points. Flatten your hierarchy. So thinking about, you know, secondary sites, and I was challenging that in terms of I have 2007, lots of secondary sites, and we have 2012, may not need DPs. And then understanding those collections. So they're used for more than just targeting. Basically starting fresh, and kind of I use that example in the bottom right-hand corner in terms of, in 2012, think about how you're going to segment. Think about how you're going to apply client agent settings on top of that, because you could have custom client agent settings. Role-based administration, how are you going to overlay that on top of those collections? And then targeting is at the very end. And lastly, just think about your 2007 collections as preserving your investment as you go, not necessarily as a starting point to move forward on. We saw lots of customers. They have very unique, a lot of great feedback from our MVPs in terms of them out with different customers. I spoke quite a bit with them about this collection migration feature and collection. They're making crazy queries and all these link collections and moving it over and different stuff. And it was just, we try to preserve the administrator intent as you come over, but just getting in customers' minds of a new way of thinking and how you organize your and group your stuff is via collections in 2012. So it's a completely new mindset, because before, it's not just about here's collections, it's primary sites are for scale out. They're not for segmentation and client settings. So you really got to take a step back when you think about plan and deploy. And part of that is collections and how you define your collections in order to do segmentation, because collections is where you do segmentation. So those are kind of the best practices. So there's quite a few other related sessions, and I talked a lot about the instructor-led labs. So I've got one tomorrow. And then there's the self-paced labs that are out there. I'm working the booth today from noon to 3, so that's the best place to come and grab me if you have any other questions and different stuff. I'll be up here afterwards if you guys have any other questions to do that. But it's a great opportunity. And also, if you go out to the forums, I think the TechNet forums are out there, so I'll be out there on that. And there are also a lot of MVPs out there for those different things. So those are great places to ask me questions.